are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome to the Bible Corner right here on the Maranatha Drive. Every afternoon around this time, we go a bit deeper in matters of biblical importance, especially as they pertain to our daily lives. And this week, we are covering the impact of Christian missions. Now, over the last few days, we've been sharing stories from people involved in mission work. And today, we're going to hear from Thabo Swaba from Railways SDA Church about their mission programs and his own perspective on the importance of missionary work. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive right here on AWR.
Good afternoon, Derek. Good afternoon, listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Good afternoon to you, too. Truly appreciate your time. And let me say that we are quite excited to talk to you about the work that is currently happening at Railways SDA Church. Maybe talk to us as we begin about some of the programs that are being run by your institution and also how you, at a personal level, came to be involved in this work.
Yes, please. Yeah, so I'm from Railways, as Derek has mentioned. We're a mission-oriented church. Mm-hmm. It's very youthful. Lovers of God and lovers of man. So we have several programs that we run. One and the most notable that captures a lot of people's attention is the feeding program.
Okay.
So I'll just explain this in a bit. So the feeding program, this is a program that happens every Sabbath where we feed street kids. So because we're located right in the heart of the city, that's Lusaka, there are a number of street kids that are around, so we feed them every Sabbath. And unlike you and I, who have so many meals that are guaranteed,
for some, this is
the only guaranteed meal that they have. So a lot of people have invested, people give contributions. It's not run by an NGO or anybody else, but people put in their monies. And every Sabbath, to make sure that at least every child who would not necessarily learn to call a street kid, but they are our friends, they're just not as
well off,
as fortunate as we are. Mm. So we try as much as possible that we ensure they have a meal every Sabbath. So that's one of our programs.
Mm, quite fascinating. But you haven't given us as to how you then came to have your hand on the plow as well as you were involved in this work.
Okay, yeah, so I am very actively involved, just as many others are.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned, we're a very youthful congregation.
Okay.
So our congregation is small, and we're under Lusaka Central. We are a church company of Lusaka Central. But back to the main agenda and what exactly happens and how I find myself putting my hands in the plowing. There's preparation of food that's involved. So after the divine service in the afternoon, somewhere around 12 or 1 p.m., a lot of people are encouraged to participate in preparing the food. So we feed the congregants and our street friends as well. So after the divine service, depending on what's there on the menu, it could be rice, it could be roses, it could be self-made burgers and many other things that are sorted.
Okay.
But whatever we have on the menu, we make sure that everybody gets involved. So we have people preparing the greens. We have people making sure that the kids are in place and they're in order. They line up. They get their food. Yeah, so I think it's everybody takes part and it's really fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, quite fascinating. Maybe let me pick your brain a bit. I mean, we're talking missions after all. To say, you mentioned soup kitchen, right? This idea of food ministry as a mission. Maybe talk to us, because one is thinking perhaps, I mean, all you do is stand in behind a table with dishes of food and you're dishing out to people as they come and collect a plate. And someone can be thinking, okay, how is that mission? How would you answer somebody who says, but I thought that was just welfare ministry. How actually is that called mission work? What would be your response to that?
Okay. Personally, I think mission is meeting somebody at their needs. It could be physical and spiritual, and especially physical. You know, for most of us, we take mission work to be spiritually oriented.
Yeah, you need to preach and call people to Jesus. Yeah.
Exactly. You need to share verses. You need to sit down and sing songs. But then the other aspect of mission, which is equally important, is physical. So I think it would carry more weight if you give somebody food, if you give somebody clothes, they can see that you really love them. And the moment you talk about John 3:16, the love of God, they can see the love of God in your works. And as James says, faith without works is dead. So for us at the church, this is how we showcase our works. It may not be enough. It may not be everything, but it's part of how we showcase our work.
Okay.
So I personally feel that's also mission because you're ministering to people. I feel like for these kids, because it's the only guaranteed meal that they have, someday, sometime in the future, one might look back and say, if it wasn't for that meal, because we also give them an opportunity to interact, we share Bible stories after the meal sometime.
Okay.
So one of them might look back sometime in the future and see the value that that added. So it's not just a mere meal for us, but it's actually important. And if I may, through this same program and many other programs that we run, there have been some who've been reformed. I would like to talk about a certain individual. I don't know if I can mention names, but we have a brother. His name is Alfred. So Alfred was one of the people on the streets. But through the same program that we have, the feeding program, and many others that I think maybe I'll talk about if I'm given a chance, he's now an evangelist. He's now a missionary. So if it wasn't for that opportunity, if it wasn't for the food that others would consider as mere food or a mere meal, he might not have had the opportunity. And we believe that many others would be blessed from this. So it is mission in essence. It's mission in totality and in meaning.
Yeah, certainly it is. I mean, I like how you responded there that, you know, instead of just telling people that Jesus loves them, you go and make it practical to say, no, he actually cares for your actual physical needs. Wonderful, wonderful. You mentioned how you then came to be. Did you have any fears? I mean, when you joined to say, hey, maybe I'm not as qualified for this work and I'm not prepared enough for it, or you felt like, no, I'm ready, you had spent some time preparing and researching and whatnot. Talk to us a bit about some of the challenges that you've thought through and you had maybe leap over, in fact, and just take a leap of faith.
Okay, frankly speaking, I think maybe more often than not, it can be quite a scary experience according to the individual. So you're thinking, am I really qualified to do this? You know, many more people who are doing bigger things. And you look at your life, maybe you introspect and you're like, do I really deserve to be doing this? But at the end of the day, I think God's grace covers all of us. You might not be qualified in training. Others have gone through training. Others have not. You might feel not qualified. But I think the grace of God qualifies us all. So it doesn't matter. I think it's normal to be scared. You could be scared as an individual. Everybody has their fears, but Christ says, cast your fears upon him, for he cares. So whatever the fears are, whether under qualification, sometimes you do not know where the finances are going to come from. There are all those things that, you know, scare us. But I think God has proven over and over, he comes through for us. We don't have a sustained source of income like every time, but it's been right for years now, and that just shows how God comes through.
Amen.
He can also come through for each and every one of us.
Certainly. Now you are there and in the mission work, what would you say is some of the preparation that one needs to in order to be a missionary, right? Is it something that they need to research, qualify for, or perhaps, like you're saying, it's one that you can learn on the job? I mean, you, looking back at where you started, do you think that was the best way to do it? Or you can say, no, actually, I would rather encourage people to. Brother Swaba?
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying, what would be your take on that?
Okay. Yeah, I think it's different from one person to the other. But for me personally, I feel like the first thing is willingness. You might not have the training. There are others who've done theology, there are others who've done missionary training. But the first thing, whether you've done training or not, I think it's your willingness. So how much willing are you to work for God? How much willing are you to get involved in the work of God? So willing is one of them. But of course, we cannot run away from the fact and the importance of training. So we work with a missionary group called Impact. It's maybe one of the biggest missionary groups in Zambia. Arguably, I'm not sure. Yes, but so we do conduct trainings for missions. For example, in December, we're having a mission towards to a different province. So there are missionary trainings that are there. So as long as you are interested, you are willing, there are enough programs that will make sure that you are trained on how to be a missionary, how you approach clients when you go out in the field, how you need to conduct yourself. So mission willingness is the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
But we also need to couple that with missionary training. So for us in Zambia, for example, I think we have enough. We have this every year.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever is willing can actually avail themselves and they can be helped through the leadership.
Certainly. Now, maybe let's talk a bit about the impact. I mean, you've been doing this like for a couple of years, like you pointed out, and it's running and God is still sustaining it. What's been the impact of this work and what's some of those high points you can look back and say, yeah, really, we saw God move? I mean, you already gave us about one of the brothers, the testimonies of how they are now an evangelist. Are there more like that in terms of stories that you can share of some of those high points you've experienced as a mission in railways?
Okay. So I won't point out any particular individual in this case, but okay. I'll just tackle it as a whole. I, for one, feel like if the church was to close, let's say, even for like 2 Sabbaths or 3 or a month,
mm-hmm.
the impact would be really be felt. There are times when we haven't had worship from church, like maybe due to a pandemic or there's a certain program and we're traveling somewhere, and you hear that the kids had lined up and then they were thinking they would be. So what that means to them is that they don't have a guarantee for the week. And so for us, it shows how big that is. It might not be the biggest thing, but we know that it's impacted lives. There are many people, I may not point at them individually, but then there are many people who've passed through this program and maybe are doing better. So we used to partner with other individuals and would run a school for them. They would meet on Sundays. There are others who've learned how to read from that. So had it not been the case, they wouldn't have known reading. There are others who know about God. So if we're there, they wouldn't have known about God. So our church and this whole program, partnering with other people, I think ensures and plays a very vital role in our community, especially in the CBD.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a busy place. Nobody has time to talk to a street kid about God. Nobody has time. Everybody thinks maybe these are thieves, these are mischievous or hooligans or many other things. But then giving them an opportunity to learn that there are people who care for them, there are people who are kind and compassionate, who would invest their resources and their time in their warfare, I think that's overwhelming.
Certainly, man. I really am encouraged. I mean, there is always that age-old question, right? If your church is to close down, would the community miss it? And yeah, I think you've answered it quite profoundly this afternoon that, hey, mission is what makes your church relevant, not anything else, but the way you impact them by serving the community. Maybe let's wrap it up by hearing from you what you would want others to know. And how you would want to encourage somebody else tuning in. Perhaps it's a listener, Jay, who is not affiliated to any Christian denomination, but they can be part of the work in volunteering. I think there's space for that. Or perhaps it's a Christian person who is belonging to a particular denomination, a particular church, and they're saying, wait a minute, how can we become also relevant in our society, in our community? What would you say to such an individual?
Okay, my message to such a person or such individuals or groups or affiliations would be, there's enough room for everybody. You know, sometimes you look at missionaries. I think everybody can be a missionary. And for those who have read, you read from inspiration everybody who's born in a Christian family is born a missionary. So missionaries are not necessarily people who have to travel out of the country. You can be a missionary. You can be a missionary in your workplace. You can be a missionary at school. You can be a missionary in your family. So it's not limited. You might not have the formal training, but there's enough room for everybody. Then there are other people who feel like they're not qualified, maybe they're not educated. So it's always accommodating for whatever sect of life you're part of. You might be the working class, you might be a student. There are always mission groups. There's always work for you to do. So don't feel discouraged. Don't feel like you're underqualified. I mean, everybody's underqualified. Paul was underqualified.
Yeah,
Moses was underqualified. We are all underqualified. But then it's the love for God and the love for the people that drives us to do what we do. And you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people who've given their lives, who've devoted this. They have their jobs. They are still running their families, but then they've devoted service to God. So you also, for those who might be busy, it's not only for those people who are free, who don't have anything to do. Despite your busy schedule, It's always possible. You can always find time to tell somebody about Christ. You can always find time to talk about the love of God, His coming. And this is work that everybody and everyone of us should participate and be part of. Let's not leave it to certain individuals whom we feel maybe because they term or they are coined as missionaries, so they're the ones who are going to do the work alone. As all of us will be part of the train, and I think that's what Christianity is about. It's about meeting the people at their needs, physical and spiritual, proclaiming the love of God, and also meeting them physically. It could be food, it could be clothes. I just didn't talk about the other projects that we ran. But then we have, for example, the winter project. We give out clothes when it's winter and our friends are in the streets. They don't have anywhere to sleep. So you can do that as well. The clothes that you have that you're not using, the shoes that you're not using that are odd, you might share it with a neighbor or anybody who might not have the opportunity as you do to access those things. So it's open for everybody, and I would encourage all to participate.
Oh, yes. Ah, wonderful words. Come one, come all. Thank you so much, Butabo. May God bless you, and may He bless the work that you are doing there by Railways SGA Church. May God bless you, and thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
There you have it, my dear friends. Brother Tabo saying it is what it is. Anyone is invited. Come one, come all. And I love these words from this hymn. If you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen lands explore, you can find those that are in need nearer you. Oh, yes, you can help them at your very door. If you do not speak like angels, if you can't preach like Paul, certainly in some way, shape or form, you can tell the love of Jesus. And you can say, yes, indeed, He died for all.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.